At Daleville Christian Church, each worship service we remind ourselves what it is we claim to believe. And so, having reminded ourselves what we claim we believe, we may remind ourselves how we claim we want to live. Today's affirmation of faith is from Romans chapter 8, verses 14 and 16. For those who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God. The Spirit you receive does not make you slaves so that you live in fear again. Rather, the Spirit you received brought about your adoption to sonship, and by him we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. You perhaps may wonder why we are adopted as sons, because in the ancient world, sons were the inheritors of the father's estate. And so we are adopted as sons. Today we would probably just say adopted as children. But in the ancient world, the father's material blessing or wealth was handed down to the sons. So the Apostle Paul reiterates that you and I, as children of God, and our adoption will inherit the Heavenly Father's kingdom. The reading of God's word is from the Apostle Paul's letter to the churches in Corinth, the letter commonly referred to as 1 Corinthians, the 7th chapter, the first 7 verses. Now for the matters you wrote about. It is good for a man not to marry, but since there is so much immorality, each man should have his own wife and each woman her own husband. The husband should fulfill his marital duty to his wife and likewise the wife to her husband. The wife's body does not belong to her alone, but also to her husband. In the same way, the husband's body does not belong to him alone, but also to his wife. Do not deprive each other except by mutual consent and for a time, so that you may devote yourselves to prayer. Then come together again, so that Satan will not tempt you because of your lack of self-control. I say this as a concession, not as a command. I wish that all were as I am, but each has his own gift from God. One has this gift, another has that. May the Lord add his blessing to this reading of his holy word. I Googled the term Lent 2017. Lent, of course, is the season before Easter. The first page of results, when you Google the term Lent 2017, the first page of results will tell you when Lent occurs in the year 2017. It begins this Wednesday, March 1st. However, there were some other possible results when you Google the term Lent 2017. I found an invitation from a website called Dynamic Catholic when you Google Lent 2017, and it says, "We all know the things that make us happy, but we don't always do them. Lent is an opportunity to change that. This year we invite you to do something different for Lent." I would say that's a very different approach to the season of Lent than the one I'm used to. But this website was started by an Australian Catholic man who is a motivational speaker and author. It goes on to say, "Sign up for the best Lent ever. A free video-based email program featuring internationally acclaimed speaker and New York Times best-selling author Matthew Kelly. From Ash Wednesday to Easter Sunday, Matthew will help you identify what stands between you and happiness and what to do about it. Are you ready for the best Lent ever?" Sounded good to me. I thought maybe I was on board for that. I should sign up. Related searches to my search on Lent 2017 included the search for the question, "What to give up for Lent?" That question I also pursued. And that question, "What to give up for Lent?" generated even more interesting results, like, 102 things you should really give up for Lent. That website was for teens. Really? Give up 102 things? Well, maybe they mean some of the 102, not all of the 102 things that they said you should really give up for Lent. I don't even know how you would track that. Maybe you would have an app that would help you track that. Here's another one, 25 creative ideas for what to give up for Lent. I'm not sure why someone needs to be creative about what they're going to do in the Lenten season. One site suggested that you consider Twitter's top ideas for what to give up for Lent. You're stuck on what to do. Let Twitter lead you. Or 45 things you might want to give up for Lent. Okay? What are we supposed to give up for Lent? And that search led to funny things to give up for Lent, some of which I will share with you now. One person said, I'm giving up all non-alcoholic beverages for Lent. One person said, I'm giving up watching television for Lent, except not all the programming I recorded before Lent started. I thought this one response was very honest. I'm giving up those addictions I still think I have control over. One fellow decided to give up working for pay for Lent and so left a note at work that he would be back right after Easter. One jokester said that this year for Lent he was giving up being Catholic. I guess that would solve the whole issue, wouldn't it, about what to give up for Lent. The number one thing that people say they will give up for Lent falls into the food category. Some are more specific, like chocolate or sweets. Giving up swearing or smoking also repeat year after year. Giving up social media is becoming a popular give-up item for Lent. So how did we get to this annual observation of the Lenten season, the season before Easter? What's the backstory on the Lenten season? Well, the Bible Foundation reasons for Lent are fairly easy to come by. Lent was certainly observed as far back as St. Nicholas's time, so we're talking around 300 AD. Even by the year 300 AD, it was already traditional to baptize people at Easter. And therefore, it was easy to establish 40 days before Easter as a period of fasting prior to Easter. Jesus fasted for 40 days prior to his public ministry. Therefore, prior to public baptism in the church, candidates were invited to fast for 40 days, although probably not as severely as Jesus did his fast. The number 40 has much significance throughout the Bible. One author simply stated that the Bible is clear that God considers 40 a spiritually significant time. Whenever God wanted to prepare someone for his purposes, he used the number 40, often 40 days. The flood was recorded as 40 days. Moses' time on Mount Sinai, 40 days. The city of Nineveh was changed in 40 days. Most importantly was Jesus' own experience of being 40 days in the desert. The tradition for giving up something in the Lenten season goes this way. Jesus fasted in the desert for 40 days, and there are several time frames for fasting mentioned in the Bible. 1 day, a week, 3 days, and other lengths of time, the length of time not particularly mentioned. For fasting, usually food is given up, not liquids. However, some fasts are mentioned as being a fast from food and drink. Rick Warren of Saddleback Church in California has made a small industry of a diet plan called the Daniel Diet or the Daniel Fast, based on a fast or a diet that Daniel mentions in the book of Daniel. Faithful individuals and church officials have used fasting in prayer and seeking the Lord's presence or guidance. The Roman Catholic Church would outline foods to be fasted. This is all to say that prior to the age of modern farming and transportation, fasting made as much practical sense as it did spiritual sense. If we go back far enough, very few people could read, and therefore there were no Bibles available in print anyway. It wasn't that you would do more Bible reading or Bible study during the fasting period of Lent. There was also the issue of food storage and the real possibility of shortages and famine, which means fasting from food in the Dark Ages and the Middle Ages could have been fairly easy to do. The day before Lent begins on Ash Wednesday, and that day before Lent is known as Fat Tuesday, the translation of the words Mardi Gras. Fat Tuesday is a day to consume the items you still have in your pantry that are restricted during Lent. And again, you go back far enough, and it was not an individual choice as to what you would give up or fast for Lent. The church told you what you were not consuming. Rich foods were to be consumed by the end of Fat Tuesday. This also makes perfect sense. If you're going to be fasting in a society that is not overweight, you might need the extra calories and fat from Fat Tuesday to make it through the 40 days of Lent. In addition, you have consumed foods that might be forbidden in Lent, and so you have removed the temptations through Fat Tuesday. On the other hand, you may be required to fast the items no one has on hand anyway because of a famine. So a person might have to give up vegetables except cabbage, which works great because the only vegetable anyone has left on hand is cabbage. Since Lent is in the spring and the butchering, if any, would be done in late fall, you might not have much meat available anyway. Skipping beef or pork might be a very easy thing to do in the Lenten season. Almost none of this is true anymore. In our culture and our society, food is abundant, even overabundant, all year long. But this brings me to my basic complaint about Christians and the church. The way we talk about Lent is in regards to giving something up. The original intention of fasting is for the purpose of giving more attention to God. Jesus is fasting not to give up food. Jesus is fasting to discern clearly the will of God. So the devil shows up during Jesus' fasting to try and get Jesus to consider some other pathway rather than the Heavenly Father's pathway for Jesus' life and mission. I'm not just trying to put a positive spin on fasting when I say fasting isn't giving something up. Fasting is for the purpose of gaining something. Fasting was for gaining discernment. Paul even told the people in the church in Corinth that if they felt moved to, as married couples, to give up sex, that is, a fast of sex, and by the way, don't try suggesting that idea in America in the 21st century, a fast from sex. But Paul's instructions are clear. If you're going to give up sex as a married couple, give up sex only for a certain time period. Why? Paul states, so you can devote yourself to prayer. 1 Corinthians 7:5. You don't give up sex because sex is evil. Sex is not evil between married people. Sex isn't even evil in and of itself. Although many use sex for evil purposes, you give up sex for a time period for the purpose of prayer. And I don't know if you've ever wondered why Paul had to insist that they only give up sex for a time period. Ever wonder that? Why does Paul have to say that? It's because the Greeks and Romans were used to seeing the body as evil. And so once the teachings of Jesus came along, and those of Paul, and all that talk about the spirit and the flesh, the Greeks and Romans thought they understood things of the spirit were good, and the things of the flesh were bad. But the Hebrew people never taught that the human body was bad. Genesis chapter 1, God himself forms a human body and pronounces it good. God even says it's very good. And as I like to remind people, it was God himself who invented sex, creating both man and woman. Paul had Greeks in his church, even married couples, who were prepared to give up sex permanently, even if they were married because they misunderstood the teachings about spirit and body. Paul also has to emphasize in that same letter, the body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. Don't neglect the body. Don't trash the body either. So Paul says, give up sex if you want, for a purpose and for a time period. Give up sex for a time for the purpose of prayer. But don't give sex up because you think it's evil. That's wrong. And so here is our problem in the church and outside the church. Because we talk about giving something up, that's what we focus on in the Lenten season. When in fact, it would be helpful, in my opinion, to focus on what your real goal is in fasting. Whether it's discernment about money, or about a relationship, or about a calling, or about a ministry, or a mission, anything you feel you need to focus on consulting the Lord about, you can fast. It might also be worthwhile that before the modern era, food preparation and food preservation were labor-intensive activities. Not eating would free up quite a bit of time. Not eating would allow you much more time to focus. Not just a minute and a half in the microwave like we do today for meal preparation. So we come into the 21st century, we Google the word Lent, and most people are immediately sent off in the wrong direction. What should we give up for Lent? What it more accurately should say when we Google the term Lent is Lent, drawing closer to God. But instead of that, Google sends you to giving something up. Now, I've actually heard someone tell me that we should give things up because Jesus gave up his life. Again, this is headed in the wrong direction. Jesus didn't just die on the cross. Jesus died on the cross to win something for us, our salvation. Jesus didn't die just to die. Jesus didn't give up his life just to give up his life. I would not encourage anyone to give up anything because Jesus gave up his life. Give something up so you can receive something. That is what Jesus did. That is what Lent is about. If someone was to be baptized at Easter, it was a time of preparation in order to receive baptism. Now, someone might say, well, you're giving up your old way of life. True, but what was so great about your old way of life compared to the new life in Christ? Doesn't seem to me we gave much up. What does God's word say in one of the affirmations of faith that we use from Titus chapter 3? At one time, we too were foolish, disobedient, deceived, and enslaved by all kinds of passions and pleasures. We lived in malice and envy, being hated and hating one another. But when the kindness and love of God, our Savior, appeared, because of his mercy, he saved us through the washing of rebirth and renewal by the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us generously through Jesus Christ, our Savior, so that having been justified by his grace, we might become heirs, having the hope of eternal life. Doesn't seem like we gave much up from that old life, does it? Foolish, disobedient, deceived, enslaved, hated, hating one another. And then look at what we receive. Rebirth, renewal, poured out generously. And we become heirs of the kingdom with hopes of eternal life. It just doesn't make sense to talk about giving up anything, does it? It doesn't make sense to talk about giving up anything without talking about what you hope to gain in the Lenten season. So my short advice to everyone is don't give up anything for Lent. Don't give up anything for Lent until you know what you want to receive in Lent. Do whatever you have to do to receive it. What was Jesus' story? The kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field. When a man found it, he hid it again, and then in his joy went and sold all he had and bought that field. The man sold everything. He gave up everything he had in order to receive a treasure. Friends, do whatever you have to do to receive what our Lord wants to give you. This season of Lent, don't give up anything until you know what it is you would like to receive in the Lenten season, the season before Easter. Amen.